Well, today is a big day for the Democratic National Convention. At the top of the speakers list, President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, and Wisconsin Senate candidate Tammy Baldwin will take the stage. Oh, and how did former President Bill Clinton do in a speech last night? Good morning, I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. It's 7 minutes after seven here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We got a Wisconsin Republican perspective last week during their convention, and it's the Democrats' turn now. Christine Bremer-Moogley joins the show. She's an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, a frequent guest on our Friday Week in Review program, and she's the Democratic National Convention's newest elect, which I believe means she'll be a delegate at the next convention. She joins us now from Charlotte. Christine, thanks for joining the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing there in North Carolina?
Excited and exhausted.
A lot going on there. Well, a lot of the news this morning is centering around former President Bill Clinton's speech. I'm just going to play a quick clip, get a taste of what he had to say.
In Tampa, the Republican argument against the president re-election was actually pretty simple, pretty snappy. It went something like this. We left him a total mess. He hadn't cleaned it up fast enough, so fire him and put us back in.
One of President Clinton's laugh lines for the convention there, but he got a lot of applause, too. What did you think of what former President Clinton had to say?
Well, you know, I have to say that we were so ready and so energized to hear him last night, and he really went well beyond anyone's expectations. Yeah, that was a great line on what President Obama had to do. I think, you know, one of the things that made us all really sober up was when he said that there was no president, in his opinion, that could have cleaned up the mess that Barack Obama was left when he entered office in 4 years. And so, he has so much credibility. And, I don't know how you felt about it, but it was really, someone said it was a critique without any malice, and I think that's absolutely true. I mean, despite the fact that he was impeached and he had terrible problems of his own with the Congress, here's a man that came back and said, you know, I never hated anyone. I never hated anyone the way they hate President Obama. And, it made us all really sober up in the hall, but boy, we were rocking by the time he was leaving.
And there was some speculation in the media anyway that, well, you know, Barack Obama beat Hillary Clinton in the last Democratic primary, maybe some ill will, maybe Bill Clinton's ego would get in the way and it would be about him and not President Obama. Did you get a sense that people were kind of holding their breath, waiting to see what was going to come out up on stage?
Yeah, I think we sort of were, but, you know, boy, he's over it. You know, he really pointed out the fact that Obama really modeled his presidency on Abraham Lincoln, and I don't know if most of us have read the book by Doris Kearns Goodwin, Team of Rivals, about how Lincoln appointed his rivals to be on his cabinet, and Obama did the same thing, and President Clinton pointed that out. And funny line was when he said, hell, he even hired Hillary, you know, and everyone laughed, and we remembered that they had a very bruising primary, but he brought Hillary Clinton on board because he knew of her talents and her brilliance, and look what she's added as just one of the finest secretaries of state that we've had. So, you know, it was a real light shone on not only Bill Clinton's character, but he shone the light on President Obama's.
In last week's Republican convention, we definitely heard about a lot of excitement from Wisconsin Republicans. They were rock stars in a lot of ways, from Governor Walker and, of course, Congressman and vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan. But the delegation kind of felt like it sounds like they were getting a lot of positive attention. They've been on a winning streak here in Wisconsin, a battleground state. Democrats on a pretty solid losing streak for the most part. Do you feel like the Wisconsin Democratic delegation is energized in a similar way?
Well, you know, you could say that some of those guys from Wisconsin were baby rock stars, but we listened to patriots in our week, and some of the finest orators in the country and in the history of our country have been speaking to us, and the Wisconsin delegation is absolutely riled up, ready to go. We have been hearing every morning, I'll tell you about our little, the way we operate here. We get up every morning and go down for breakfast together at 7 a.m. And like, for instance, last night I actually hit my door at 2:30 a.m. and got up for you this morning at 5. But and so most of us are pretty tired, but we go down in the morning and we have breakfast together, and it's really always a huge, you'd think we'd be just dragging in there, but everybody is really excited, and we've had they bring us fantastic speakers. So they come in the morning and talk to us. We had Senator Feingold came in. We had Senator Amy Klobuchar. We had Howard Dean. We've had Stephanie Cutter. We've had, Nancy Keenan. We've had from Norrell. And we've just had these incredible speakers that come in every morning. We had the president of the new president of AFSCME, Lee Saunders, come in. And one of the first speakers we had, and he is just an incredible orator. And the first morning he came in and set up a chair, which was empty next to his podium, and he talked to an invisible Clint Eastwood. And so we had quite a lot of fun, and we've been really, really energized. And I think if the point of a convention is to really make your base feel strong so you can go forward and really, really work hard for your ticket, this convention has been just a masterful one because we've never been so energized. I was at 08, which was, you know, when we nominated President Barack Obama as the first African American, and for me, I mean, that was just an amazing experience, and for all of us, we knew we were witnessing history. But this Democratic convention seems to me to be even more important because the stakes are so incredibly high, and I think the Wisconsin delegation knows that, and all of us are just ready to go. We're just really ready to come home, work our tails off for this ticket, and really show that President Obama has 2.5 years of accomplishments that we really need to tout and not be embarrassed of.
Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine. I'm talking to Christine Bremer Moogley. She's a Wisconsin Democrat. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina for the convention, doing a mirror image of what we did last week. We talked to Wisconsin Republicans about their convention. You can join the show. Are you watching the conventions? Do they make a difference to you? Did the Republican convention or the Democratic convention make you feel more energized? Maybe get you involved in going door to door for your party? What are you looking for from the president, the vice president, and from Senate candidate Tammy Baldwin tonight? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. 800-642-1234. Or you can email talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Christine, I just mentioned Tammy Baldwin speaking tonight. A big opportunity for her. What does it mean that Tammy Baldwin is on this big day of the Democratic National Convention?
Well, it shows the confidence of the Democratic Party in our candidate Tammy Baldwin, because they're putting her on as warm up to President Obama, and so she has a great message, and we are so really proud of her. She came last night. We just saw her for the first time last night, and actually, with me talking to you right now, I'm missing her talking to our delegation downstairs. So, everyone is really excited. It was great to see her last night. She is so excited and energized, and we just know that when people see who Tammy Baldwin is and the character of this woman and her strength and the commitment she has to the people of Wisconsin, and that will be evident in her speech tonight, they're just going to want to get behind her as we do.
It's going to be a tough race, at least looking at the latest polling against former Governor Tommy Thompson. Do you think that she will get a convention bounce in the political science language?
Well, I think when people have a chance to hear her unfiltered and see her for themselves, it will absolutely give her a bounce. You know, we know that the GOP got almost no bounce at all from their convention, and they certainly, in my opinion, didn't deserve one. I believe that the Democratic convention is going to give us a huge bounce all across, and Tammy will also be the beneficiary of that.
That's Christine Bremer Moogley. She's a Wisconsin Democrat, frequent guest on the Joy Cardine Show's Week in Review each Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Democratic National Convention. You can weigh in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Any undecided voters out there? Are you hearing anything that might sway you in one direction or another? If you're a Democrat, do you think your party is sending the right message? If you're a Republican, why don't you think the Democratic message is persuasive? 800-642-1234. Want to keep it focused on the conventions, not just overall general political campaign stuff, I think. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Looking at the weather, today sunny and mild with highs in the 70s and low 80s. Tonight, increasing clouds, a chance of rain, mainly in northwestern Wisconsin after midnight, lows in the 50s. Partly to mostly cloudy and cool tomorrow, chance of rain, highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s and 50s. Madison right now 61 degrees, Milwaukee 70, Superior 51, Wausau 48 degrees. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After three, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Back to school time and the start of college can be a stressful time, not just for students, but for parents. Ben and his guest will talk about empty nest syndrome and making that big transition. That's today after 3 At Issue. Right now, we're looking at the Democratic National Convention. We have Christine Bremer-Moogley with us. She's a Wisconsin Democrat. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina for the convention. We're talking about what we're hearing from Democrats there, whether they're sending an effective message, what we're looking to hear tonight with some of the big speakers on the agenda. We'll go to the phones now with Barb in Whitefish Bay. Barb, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Christine. Barb in Whitefish Bay.
Good morning.
I had a question about the vote, or the amendment to add God back into the Democratic platform and Jerusalem as the head of Israel. During that verbal vote, which was taken 3 times, for me at home watching on TV, seemed like that wasn't really a majority vote. Could you comment on that?
This was a controversy in the papers, Christine. What do you think?
Yeah, I was sitting there, and I was fascinated. I was sitting right behind Governor Ted Strickland, who I actually met on the street yesterday. He's a fantastic guy. It was really amazing because we walked into the hall, and we didn't know that was coming up. I mean, most of the delegates are out at caucus meetings all day, and we don't have a time to really check in with the news. So we really didn't know it was coming up, and It was interesting seeing how, you know, people that I thought were, you know, more conservative kind of Democrats, if there are such things, were screaming out no to the vote on adding God into the platform. And there were many screaming, obviously the majority screamed out yes. And, these are very religious people that were screaming out no. And when I asked some of my colleagues on the floor why they did that, they were really... They said, they believe in the Constitution, the separation of church and state. And so even though our founding fathers put God in most of the founding documents that rule our country, there are people that feel very strongly about that. And so, you have to know the delegates are people that are very political and have strong opinions. And so they say what they think. And to their credit, they went honestly. If you might think that's not to their credit, but that's how they felt. And it's not because they don't believe in God. That's for sure. But they just don't believe that. They believe strongly, rather, in the separation of church and state. And I think that's how most people felt about it. So it was very interesting, exciting to be there to watch that vote. But it was, I thought it was fascinating to hear it in the hall. And when you could hear the votes and the yelling, it's very difficult. The hall is small and there's a lot of echo. We don't hear as well as you might think. You probably hear better. But it was clear to me that it was very close. And, so that's why he had to do it 3 times. You really couldn't tell who was winning from my perspective.
Thanks for the call, Barb. Mary is with us in Schulzburg now. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, good. How are you doing?
Great, great. I just wanted to make a comment. I feel that both parties have actually represented themselves extremely well. The conventions have been exciting to watch. But the thing that I'm really noticing, it's the wives who the people are really listening to. Boy, their presentations were outstanding. Their words were heard. The response was excellent. So I think the women are representing our country extremely well. And that's my comment.
Thanks. Interesting observation, Mary. So Ann Romney and Michelle Obama are the stars of their respective conventions. Christine?
Yeah, well, I have to say, Mary, I agree with you. And I don't know that it's necessarily an issue of wives, but I think it's an issue of women. If there could ever be a convention that is about women, this has to be it. Everywhere we go, the women's issues are very, very much in the forefront. I was lucky enough to be at one of the caucus sessions. It's the Women's Caucus, and we have, during the day, we have numbers of meetings that we go to, and they go all day. And I went to one of them. It was the Women's Caucus, and when we walked in, it was absolutely jam-packed with women. And usually you might get 50 people at a caucus meeting. There were over 500. And when I walked in, Nancy Pelosi was there, and speaking to women and getting them really motivated. And then we, one speaker after the next, we had the most incredible speakers, Donna Brazile. We had, Ashley Judd walked in and gave an incredible speech. She's actually a delegate from Tennessee, very articulate woman, and many people think she's a great actress. But, you know, the women here have been really, really strong, and it's evident how important this election is to women. I mean, women's rights are really something that's in the forefront. They are under assault. Women, Democratic women, really believe that they have a lot to say. You know, yesterday I had a fabulous session with Nuns on the Bus. And I went to it. It was in a little church, and I went down in the basement. And there were a number of delegates down there, and the sister that spoke last night was there, and she greeted me at the top of the stairs. Had the same outfit on, by the way, that she spoke last night, because after all, she is a nun. And she was just fantastic and so motivational. And these nuns are just bringing to the forefront the powerful message that social justice cannot be forgotten. And these women are just encouraging us all and are motivating us all, and I'm just so proud.
Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardina on the Ideas Network, talking to Wisconsin Democrat Christine Bremer-Moogley. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina for the convention, taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Laverne in DeForest is with us next. Hi, Laverne.
Yeah, good morning. This is great getting in right after this last call and talking about the women, because the war against women is a major theme in the Democrat Party. And according to popular polls or political polls, the most popular Democrat is former President Bill Clinton. And so I'd like to throw out four names and have you respond. Monica Lewinsky, Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey. This is the Democrats' hero when it comes to women's issues?
All right. Well, first of all, President Clinton has that definite history there, Christine Bremer-Moogley. And on a broader note, Democrats have hit this issue claiming that Republicans are engaging in what amounts to a war on women in various social issues. Your thoughts?
Well, I think when Laverne brings these up, this is the kind of discourse that we really need to get away from. And that was what was incredible about Bill Clinton last night. I mean, you know, this is a man that was impeached. He was not removed from office for really what some people said last night, for nothing, in their opinion. You know, many women, including myself, were disappointed with him, obviously. I mean, I met President Clinton while he was in office, and I was very really proud of him as my president, and I love Bill Clinton for what he did for our country. I absolutely do. But, you know, there were certain things that are disappointing. But, you know, in every political life, in every public life, there are things that are disappointing, and what we have to look at is what he accomplished in office for women. And that's a lot. And what President Barack Obama stands for, the first thing he did when he came into office was to pass the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which is the act which really recognizes the need for women to have equal pay for equal work. So there's no question in our mind who stands for us and who doesn't. And so when Laverne, you come on and raise these thoughts and try to bring us down, you know, we're just not going to stand for it anymore. As President Clinton said last night, democracy isn't a blood sport, and it doesn't have to be. Let's raise the discourse. Let's talk about issues, not talk about personal problems.
But the Democratic Party hasn't been shy about, or at least outside groups supporting Democrats haven't been shy about making pretty serious attacks on Mitt Romney's character, personality, history. Can you really say that Democrats are above the fray when it comes to negative attacks?
Look, the attacks that have, first of all, the attacks on Mitt Romney have not been personal, I don't believe. They've been attacks with regard to his business acumen and what he did with his talents. You know, Michelle Obama made one of the greatest comments, and she said, you know, the difference between these two men is really acute, and here's what it is. the difference isn't how much money you make, which the Republicans were celebrating, and of course we all celebrate money to a point, but in this case, the difference is not about how much money you make, but what changes you can make in people's lives by the powers and the gifts that you have. And the changes in people's lives that Mitt Romney has made that we have pointed out as Democrats, because he's put his background on the table as one of his big calling cards, is the fact that when he was president of Bain Capital, people lost their way of life. They lost their pensions. They lost their ability to have a job and have some security in their life. So, yeah, that can go on the table, and that is because Mitt Romney put it on the table. And that's not personal. That's one of the things that makes him, in his own mind, qualified to be our next president. And so, you know, it's not a personal attack when it comes to that. When you talk about personal attacks, you're talking about people's personal lives, and that is not what we're doing here. We're talking about, you know, what he said. I think Mitt Romney is a fine guy, you know, and President Clinton said the same thing, and so is President Obama. He seems to be a very decent man, and Romney looks like an incredible woman. But that's not what this is about. It's about the changes that you are going to make in people's lives, and from the perspective of the Democratic Party, those changes are not going to be right for our country. We need to secure our middle class, and Mitt Romney stands as someone who is going to put the middle class in grave jeopardy of their futures.
That's Christine Bremer-Moogley. She's a Wisconsin Democrat, an attorney with Bremer and Trollop Law Offices in Wausau. And she has been a delegate to the DNC in the past and will be next time. We are talking about the Democratic National Convention, what we are hearing from the speakers, what we might expect to hear from President Obama, Vice President Biden, and Wisconsin Senate candidate Tammy Baldwin when they all speak tonight. Lines open for you now. They were full. If you got a busy signal, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Are you a convention watcher? Do you like what you're seeing from either of the parties at their conventions? Or do you think it's just a bunch of hullabaloo that doesn't amount to much of anything? 800-642-1234. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking to Christine Bremer-Moogley, frequent guest on the Week in Review, 8 to 9 a.m. here on the Joy Cardine Show. And she is a Wisconsin Democrat. She is in Charlotte, North Carolina, sharing her analysis, her thoughts, and her experiences at the Democratic National Convention. We'll go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. And Laverne is with us in Monroe. Hi, Laverne.
Hello, Rob. Great program.
Thanks.
Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Laverne.
You sound great.
Thank you.
I listened to the both of the conventions on 21, 4 hours, because I wanted to make a fair comparison, and I hope Republicans do the same thing. Bill Clinton made an excellent point about the growing debt. He made a comment about double down and trickle down. He says he don't know how giving billionaires a tax break is going to reduce the deficit. And I think that since the Republicans were the ones giving the rich the tax breaks, I think the only solution is you're going to have to do like President Obama says, to get out of the debt, you're going to have to tax on ability to pay and tax the rich at a higher rate.
Thanks for the call, Laverne. Christine?
Thanks, Laverne. Bill Clinton was just unbelievable when he said one of the biggest skills he had to become president was he knew how to do arithmetic. He had us really laughing. I mean, but he, you know, who is a better teacher than Bill Clinton? He says fiscal responsibility means that you have to know how to make numbers add up. So he said, these are the problems that Romney's talking about. Number one, there's a huge debt. So what's their answer for that? $5 trillion in tax cuts. And so then you say, well, what are we going to do about the debt if you're given tax cuts? And he says, well, we're going to eliminate loopholes. And then you say to Romney, well, which ones are you going to eliminate? And he says, see me after the election, I'll let you know. You know, it's an amazing argument, and it certainly has a lot of, he's got a lot of chutzpah for making it, but it isn't something that's going to lead the country. And it's something that we really have to think about. What are we trusting in this guy who will not release his tax returns? And now he won't tell us about his tax loopholes. And you know, people are saying that
the person that's going to benefit the most from his tax plan is going to be him and his billionaire buddies. So, you know, we really have to think about that. And where is our country going with a guy that won't even share with the American people what he's got in mind? It's amazing.
Well, the Republican critique would be that the debt has been going up under President Obama, just crossed $16 trillion, the overall debt. Does President Obama have an answer to that problem any better than Mitt Romney does?
Well, President Obama, as we have heard today, came into office when the country was on the verge of a depression. He had to do something, and what he did was create 4.5 million jobs. He saved our country. He saved the banking industry. And last night we saw a huge rousing statements about how he saved the auto industry. You know, the people that work in Ohio, they were sitting in front of us. They were rocking it when the auto leaders came in. You know, these things that he did to save our country were really important. So we can say there's a failed stimulus. The stimulus put 4.5 million people back to work. Just think if we didn't have it. So part of that debt is due to that, you know, bleeding 800,000 jobs a month when he came into office. I mean, how many people can really say they could face that easily? You know, no wonder the poor man's hair is going gray. I mean, you know, here's what he did. You know, his accomplishments are many. He ended the war in Iraq. He's ending the war in Afghanistan. He's put into place health care, which gives us security. We've been trying to give Americans security in their health care for 90 years. He's the first president that's actually been able to do it. Equal pay for women. I mean, I've talked about that. That's huge. He's brought Bin Laden to justice. And now, you know, the jobs market, we're adding jobs at a huge rate. Things are turning around. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, the things he's done for immigration to allow young immigrants to get permits to work when they're here on no fault of their own. You know, so, you know, people have been asking us Democrats on the street, all the reporters come up to you and ask you this sort of question that they think it's a trick. Are we better off than we were 4 years ago? Heck yes, we are. Yes, we're better off. You know, when 9% of the gross domestic product is being lost, and he stopped that, and now we're coming back on the upswing, yeah, we're better off. And President Clinton, who I think most of us trust with regard to his economic policies, because he led the country into the biggest expansion we've ever known, you know, he said President Obama has laid the foundations for the future, and that President Clinton said, I absolutely believe that you will feel this in the next few years. We have to go along with that.
You mentioned that 4.5 million jobs created number, and a lot of speakers at the convention have. Some fact-checker organizations have thrown a caution flag there, saying that's not compared to when President Obama came into office. It's compared to the low point of the economy, which was into his term. That 4.5 million is just getting us back to where we were before the whole economic collapse. Is that really such a big accomplishment to crow about?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is, because without it, without doing the stimulus, without saving the auto industry, without, you know, really putting into place the tools that we can move forward with, we could easily have been in a depression. So it's easy to say, well, we're not as good as we want to be. No, we're not. And everyone agrees to that. But where would we be without it? You know, in 2.5 years, President Obama created more jobs than Bush did in 8. You know, and when we think about what the GOP has done in these years when we had this horrible crisis, and we talk about statesmanship, what has the GOP Congress done? Obstruction, obstruction, obstruction. When we were in Washington celebrating the inauguration of this man, they were, Paul Ryan, one of them, the congressional leaders were meeting to figure out how they could defeat him instead of how they could support him and help buoy up the economy. So if obstructionism is the centerpiece of the GOP governing policy, do we really need them back? What we need is a Congress that will work with the president so we can solve these problems. And it's not about politics. It's about what you can do for our country.
Rob Ferret talking to Christine Bremer-Moogley, a Wisconsin Democrat at the Democratic National Convention. We did a similar show last week with Wisconsin Republicans about the Republican National Convention. Back to the phones now at 800-642-1234 with Sheree and Wapan. Hi, Sheree.
Hi, good morning. I want to bring up a couple things in President Clinton's speech. I like the way that he used the word hate, because nobody has really recognized the vitriolic tone that has been used when talking about President Obama. And I think it was really a beautiful thing for him to at least point it out so people can no longer ignore it. And he took the opportunity that Republicans should have taken to define their plan. And instead, they left it up to Bill Clinton to define their plan. And he exposed how people that we all know, people with disabled parents, people with disabled children, people with parents in nursing homes, how they are all going to be affected by the Ryan Romney plan. And, you know, it was really astounding to see people just all of a sudden go, wow, really? Because nobody told us about that. And, you know, he really took the ball and he ran with it, and it was a beautiful thing to watch.
Christine?
Yes, Cherie, you're absolutely right. I held my breath when he said that about haters. And, you know, when we think back and try to remember one of the first words out of Rush Limbaugh's mouth about President Obama right after the inaugural was, I hope he fails. And the vitriol just started there, and it never ended. And this hate of President Obama has been really, really devastating to the country because the GOP has not worked with him. And you're right, last night, I think President Clinton is such an incredible teacher, and he made it so easy for us to hear him and understand him on a very difficult policy to understand, very complicated bill for most people to understand. But when he pointed out the fact that in the Ryan budget, Medicaid will be cut so that seniors in nursing homes will potentially lose their ability to have that paid for by the government, you know, everyone is thinking, well, wait a minute, my mom's in a nursing home on Medicaid. How are we going to pay for it? Are we going to bring her home? You know, what do people, you know, this is what the big difference between the GOP and the Democrats. The Democrats say, we are in this together. We need to help each other. And that's the message from these lovely nuns on the bus. We need to remember that there is a big price, a social price for these policies about you do it on your own. You can be successful. You don't need anybody else. We built it on our own. Versus the policies of the Democrats, which say, we are in this together. We need to help each other. So it's a huge contrast. And Cherie, you absolutely pointed out, President Clinton was a great teacher. He brought it forward. And we are really looking forward to President Obama doing the same tonight.
We've talked a lot about President Clinton's speech. Also last night, Massachusetts Senate candidate Elizabeth Warren talked. Any thoughts on her remarks?
Oh, she was fantastic. I mean, I just think she is such a powerful speaker. And for me, the biggest line that I think really resonated with me is that when she pointed out to Mitt Romney that corporations are not people, I think that it really brought home, you know, the difference. You know, and she said people live and laugh and love and have children, and people eventually die, and this is the difference. Corporations are not people, and we are here to help people. I think she was great. Another very powerful woman on the podium. So proud of her.
That's Christine Bremer-Moogley. She's a Wisconsin Democrat, frequent guest on The Week in Review, Fridays 8 to 9 a.m. on the Ideas Network. She is in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Democratic National Convention, and that's what we're talking about, the speeches, the policies coming out of there, and the politics. 800-642-1234 if you want to join in, or send an email, talk@WPR.org. And the weather today, sunny and mild with highs in the 70s up to the low 80s. Tonight, increasing clouds, a chance of rain, mainly in northwestern Wisconsin, after midnight, lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and cool, a chance of rain, highs in the 60s, lows in the 40s and 50s. Looking ahead, Saturday through Monday, a slight chance of rain, and Saturday afternoon in the north, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy and mild, highs in the 70s, lows in the 40s and 50s. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hey, get rhythm when you get the blues.
Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 8, the art of procrastination, how people who put things off can live normal lives, and why this Johnny Cash song can help them. This hour, we are talking about the Democratic National Convention with Christine Bremer-Moogley. She's a Democrat from Wisconsin, and she is in Charlotte, North Carolina for that convention. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Rob is with us next. He is in Brown Deer. Hi, Rob.
Hi. Good morning. I just wanted to go back to your original question about the relevance of conventions. And I think now, and probably since the 1960s, they're pretty irrelevant. they're pretty scripted, and there's no big surprises in them. I think where the real interest is, and it's not covered very much, is in the meetings and lobbying that go on around conventions off-site by special interest groups and super PACs, and nobody really talks much about that. The other quick thing, based on just the recent questions you guys had, one was that the Great Recession was really caused by Bill Clinton by his deregulation. It's called the Glass-Steagall Act, and I think you might best acknowledge that. The other thing is I don't see how President Obama is ending the war in Afghanistan. Thank you.
Christine Bremer-Moogly, a few points there. First, do conventions matter at all?
Conventions absolutely matter. I mean, I'm of course, you know, I'm a true believer, and I've watched them since I was 6 years old. But I mean, they matter to the people that are the workers and the people that go out and help make a campaign happen. And so it also crystallizes the issues. And in our case this time, there could be no finer divide between what the Democrats stand for and the Republicans stand for. So everyone is groping for those people in the middle. If the people in the middle are watching these two conventions, they absolutely have a choice to make, and that choice is very important to the future. So Rob might be one of those people that's already decided, and so it's not relevant to him. But there are many people that might have been voted for Obama before, weren't ready, or didn't know if they were going to vote for him now, or people that were thinking about voting for Mitt Romney, and now they're looking at us. And so those are the people we're looking at, and conventions bring forward the platform and let people know what you really stand for, and there is a huge difference in these two parties. And on the war in Afghanistan, you know, the president listened to his advisors, the military professionals, and he made the decision as commander-in-chief to try to do more in Afghanistan. He has pledged to bring 64,000 troops home. He is bringing them home. It's a very difficult situation. He's doing it in the best interest of our country, and no one can say this president hasn't done everything he can to end this war. He is not in favor of this war. He voted against the war. You know, he brought bin Laden to justice, and despite those people that are trying to even take that away from him, there is no question that he is a brave man, and he's made hard decisions, and he's doing everything he can to end this war.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Now to Lauren in De Pere. Lauren, you're on the air.
Hi. There was a question asked earlier of your guests by yourself, Rob. I appreciate an answer to it. She gave a great answer to something else about the great accomplishments of President Obama, and that was appreciated. But the question was about debt and deficit and what President Obama would do about that. So if we could get something about that from our guests, that would be great.
What will President Obama do to tackle the deficit, Christine?
Well, President Obama has put forward many opportunities for this Congress to act to end the deficit. And one of the things he's tried mostly is to put forward a jobs plan, which was obstructed in the Congress. You know, the president can only do so much. He is one of three branches, and we have the Supreme Court giving us Citizens United that makes it almost impossible for a president to run any longer, a party to run without some kind of really huge moneyed interest taking him down. So we've got that on one side, and then we've got the Congress, who is trying to obstruct every program he's put forward. So that makes it very difficult also. But what this president has done is said, look, I want to put America back to work. He believes that we can do this. He knows that we have to increase educational opportunities for our people so that we can grow the economy. He knows that we need to build our infrastructure, and he put forward a jobs plan, and the Congress has stopped it. So we're hopeful that with this election, people will see these efforts and want to support this president and give us a Congress that will absolutely believe and agree with these ideas and move this country forward and stop obstructing.
Rob Ferret talking to Christine Bremer-Moogly, a Wisconsin Democrat at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. Back to the phones now. Carrie is with us in Catawba. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, hi. Quick point. You had asked the question, are we better off? And you got into the point that the jobs had fallen for the next 2 years, and then we had built back up to the point where we are now. My point being, simple physics, if you go to stop something that's in motion instantly, you're going to cause damage. It's going to coast to a stop. So, yeah, it's going to continue to fall, and then you slowly take off and get back up.
which is where we are now. I mean, that's just simple physics, that this is the way it's going to progress.
If I can interpret that in terms of this election, you're saying President Obama needed more time to slow it down and then start it working again? Am I hearing you right?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What?
That's okay. Christine, I think I'll just interpret his point that way, that he's saying roughly what President Clinton said last night. Barack Obama had a mess. It took a while to stop the damage and start moving things forward again.
Yeah, absolutely right, Carrie. That's what everyone, you know, we're so impatient. We want, you know, you stand in front of your microwave and you say, hurry up. You know, so, you know, in this case, we have to say, give this president time. He's absolutely right. The economy came to this horrible, horrible place. And instead of just turning it around instantly, everyone thinks this man can come into office and turn everything around instantly and start his administration. It doesn't happen like that. Rob, if you'll just indulge me, I just want to say something about the Wisconsin delegation. These are such wonderful people, and we have really formed great friendships from across the state, from people from all different backgrounds, you know, the young, the old, the disabled, black, white, Asian, every different ethnic group is represented, and we are just so together, and so with divergent backgrounds, we've come together and really want to support this ticket, and we are going to really work our tails off to do so.
One more call from Jim in Cable now. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. I had a lot of things to talk about, but
not much time, so pick one, please.
One point. I've been a resident and in the state of Illinois for 67 years, and if we can look at Illinois just as an example of the condition of the way the country's going. Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, and the state of Illinois are almost bankrupt. And I look at it in this respect, and I've seen Democratic and Republican politics in Illinois for many years. It's a prototype for where the country is heading under this type of Democratic leadership. And if you take, for instance, in the last 12 years, it's taken about 12 years for Illinois to be put in this kind of situation. So I look at that, what's happened in Illinois, what's happened in Chicago.
Not much time left, Jim. Christine, I'll sum up there, I think. President Obama, his background is in Illinois state government. Look at the state of Illinois is in now. Do we want that in our presidential leadership?
President Obama is a reformer, just as Rahm Emanuel is a reformer. And President Obama and Rahm Emanuel, I think Rahm is turning the city around. He's a powerful man. And I've heard him speak, and I've met him, and I think he's a very bright guy, and he is changing the school system in Illinois, in Chicago, rather. And I think Pat Quinn addressed the convention. He had some great ideas, and he's turning it around. So I don't think that's very wise to say that, you know, we look at Illinois and we look at those politics and say that's bad. I think it's going to turn around in Illinois. And I think that this president is of the ilk, and you're talking to a Chicago girl, by the way. Been in Wisconsin for 35 years, but I'm a Chicago girl. I think this president understands that, and he is doing his best to really flip this around. You know, I really just don't think that's the right way to look at it. I think that this president understands what has to be done. And if we're looking at what President Clinton did, you know, our country was in great shape, and they took a surplus and turned it into a deficit with wars that weren't paid for. And, you know, now we are where we are. Let's turn it around and let's get together and help make some progress for our country and our kids.
Christine, a short response to this. Latest Marquette poll shows a pretty close presidential race where President Obama used to have a big lead here in Wisconsin. Is Wisconsin at play in the presidential race?
Well, I hope so. We want some attention in Wisconsin. I think President's going to win, but we want the attention. Come on, let's have them all come here and visit us.
Christine, thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Rob.
It's Christine Bremer-Moogley, attorney in Wausau, frequent guest on the Week in Review here on the Joy Cardine Show, 8 to 9 on Friday. She joined us from the Democratic National Convention. Thanks to Amanda Magnus, Bill Martins, and Cynthia Schuster for producing this morning's program. Thanks to you for listening and for all your calls. Coming up after 8, procrastination. But we'll put that off for a few minutes before we start talking about that. Stick around. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.